From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled, Help While We Hope, the 12th in a series of messages on Romans chapter 8. The text is verses 24 through 27. As Dr. Cairns has explained from verse 24, the believer's hope is the objective reality, that is, the culmination of his Christian faith, the redemption of the body, and his entrance into glory. This hope is what sustains God's people in times of adversity, for gospel assurance leads to endurance in the trials of life. Verse 26 reveals a hindrance that detains us as we seek to go on with God. We often suffer from what the apostle calls our infirmities, our weaknesses in the place of prayer. If we're honest with ourselves, there are times when we just don't know what to pray for or how to pray. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Today's devotional is entitled, God's Enemies Shall Bow. The text is found in Exodus chapter 7 and verse 5. The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. The ungodly world is hard to teach. Egypt does not know Jehovah, and therefore dares to set up its idols, and even ventures to ask, Who is the Lord? Yet the Lord means to break proud hearts, whether they will or not. When His judgments thunder over their heads, darken their skies, destroy their harvests, and slay their sons, they begin to discern somewhat of Jehovah's power. There will yet be such things done in the earth as shall bring skeptics to their knees. Let us not be dismayed because of their blasphemies, for the Lord can take care of His own name, and He will do so in a very effectual manner. The salvation of His own people was another potent means of making Egypt know that the God of Israel was Jehovah, the living and true God. No Israelite died by any one of the 10 plagues. None of the chosen seed were drowned in the Red Sea. Even so, the salvation of the elect and the sure glorification of all true believers will make the most obstinate of God's enemies acknowledge that Jehovah, He is the God. Oh, that His convincing power would go forth by His Holy Spirit in the preaching of the gospel, till all nations shall bow at the name of Jesus and call Him Lord.
Thank you.
Have you ever wondered what the message of each New Testament book really is? Not just the meaning of a phrase, a text, or even a chapter, but the central message of the entire book? If so, we're happy to offer you the opportunity to obtain a means of doing just that. A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns preached a series of messages in which he explained the teaching of each of the New Testament books. This series was published in a book entitled A Sure Foundation. These messages let you get a grasp of the heart of the New Testament's teaching and show you how relevant it is to your life in the modern world. A Sure Foundation tells you how to live in the light of the gospel, in the freedom of faith, and not in the gloom of guilt and frustration. This is not another how-to book of self-help tips. Its constant theme is the acceptance believers have with God because of the imputation of Christ's righteousness to them, which is the heart of the gospel. Let the Bible Speak has recently obtained a limited number of copies of this publication, and we're now making them available to our listening audience. The price for each copy of A Sure Foundation is $10, which includes shipping and handling. You may have a copy by sending your check for $10 made out to Let the Bible Speak to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. To reserve a copy, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Request your copy of A Sure Foundation today.
Thank you. God saved me for eternal glory. He saved me for a glory that not even the archangel can imagine, and certainly a glory that not even an archangel will ever experience. God saved me for that. Now the waiting time can be difficult. Paul said, with this hope before us, he says, for this cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. A weight of glory. Actually, doesn't that sound rather strange? We get used to the words. And we skip over, but a weight of glory. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew term for glory had the idea, the connotation of heaviness. Heaviness. Not oppressive, but certainly heaviness, and therefore of the idea is of tremendous dignity. And this is what Paul is saying. Look, in the midst of all the waiting, here's our hope, and it buoys us up. It sustains us. There is an unspeakable dignity, a glory that God has saved us for. That is the hope that sustains. Now, in this waiting time, alongside of our hope, we have to deal with a hindrance that detains us, would haul us back. Paul speaks of our infirmities, and he says, we know not what to pray for as we ought. We could say there is a hindrance, but we'll take it in two parts, this hindrance. First, there's inability. The word infirmities, verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. The word infirmities is simply the word for strength with a prefix that means you don't have it. So it is weakness. Now the word can also mean afflictions and sufferings, and it is used like that in places. I don't see that so much here. It would be way in the background. This is weakness. You see, the Spirit doesn't really help your afflictions. He may help you in them, but He doesn't help your afflictions. And afflictions in themselves actually are not usually a hindrance to prayer. In fact, most people's experiences when they're in affliction, that's when they pray the most. No, this is weakness. Paul said, you know how through infirmity of the flesh I preach the gospel to you. The same word, weakness. We're told of the Lord Jesus in Hebrews 4:15, He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. The idea is of our weaknesses physically. Our great high priest is one who has compassion on the ignorant. For he also himself is compassed with infirmity. He knew what it was. He was touched with the feeling of our infirmity. Paul is saying here, we have a problem. We are weak. Didn't Jesus say the Spirit is willing? The flesh is weak. How weak the flesh is. And as we're seeking to serve the Lord, as we're seeking to keep our eyes on the prize, we're seeking to go toward that day of glory, there is weakness. He's not talking now about moral weakness. He's not talking about lapses into sin. Those things may be true and certainly they are hindrances. But he's speaking just about this inherent weakness. You look at other Christians and you say, oh, I wish I were strong like he is or like she is. You don't know him or her. We are weak. And the strongest one among us is weak. And if you think you're strong enough to stand, just think again. Paul is saying this is our problem. Then on top of that, this weakness leads us to ignorance. We don't know what to pray for as we ought. Or perhaps we don't know what to pray for as is necessary. Now watch this carefully. We're not in any doubt that we should pray. We're not in ignorance about that. Every Christian knows he should pray. If you don't know you should pray, you're not saved. Or else you're unconscious. If you're conscious and you're a Christian, you know you should pray. No ignorance about that. We're in no doubt as to how we should pray. The Bible tells us, after this manner pray ye. When ye pray, say. We know that we're to pray diligently, we're to pray honestly, we're to pray sincerely, we're to pray daily. We know that we're to pray to our Father, we know we're to pray through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know we are to worship, we're to give thanks, we are to confess, we are to supplicate. We know what we're supposed to be doing, we know how to pray. But very often, what to pray for is a huge problem. And when you stop to think of it, isn't this so often one of the biggest difficulties that Christians have? We're facing problems in everyday life. How am I supposed to pray about this? What am I supposed to pray? What should I be asking the Lord to do here? You see, it's very easy when something comes into your life, and it would be comfortable to get such and such an answer, to go to the Lord and think automatically, that must be the thing to ask for. And it may not be. May not be at all. You remember the Apostle Paul? He got a thorn in the flesh. Now, it really hindered him. It got in Paul's way. Paul was a human dynamo. He could look at all the apostles and say, I labored more abundantly than all of them. Now that's saying something. And that's said under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. This man was a human dynamo. And then he gets this thorn in the flesh. Lord, look at how much work there is to do. Look at how many mission fields there are to conquer. Look at the people who have to be reached. The churches that have to be serviced, administered to. The epistles that have to be written. There's nobody else here to do it, Lord. I must get rid of this awful thorn in the flesh. And so Paul three times went to the Lord and he said, Lord, take away this thorn in the flesh. And he was not asking for the right thing. Now we can understand him asking. But it wasn't the right thing. God said, no, Paul. I have given you that thorn, and I'm going to give you something else with it. I'm going to give you grace. Somebody said about the burdens of life that the Lord will either take them off your shoulders or He'll strengthen and broaden your shoulders to bear them. There's a lot of truth in that. This is why we need to pray according to the will of God. Why, even when things seem clear to us, that would apparently be the best thing at this time. We need to submit it to the will of God. I don't want to keep repeating myself, but I can tell you there comes a time in your life when you've got to be willing to say, Lord, I submit my praying to the leading of the Holy Ghost. When I thought my wife was facing death, I refused to ask God to heal her until I knew God's will. And I'll never forget the prayer, Lord, if you want her to die, I do not want her to live. And when you're 39 years old, and that's the prayer you've got to pray, you're going through deep water. I don't say that as if there were something special about us. There's not. I'm saying to you, many a time, instead of just rushing in, Lord, you must do this, you must do that, you must do the other thing, that what appears to be comfortable or even good to you, it may indeed in itself be good. But there can be something better. This is a big difficulty, especially when the pressures are on. We're hindered by our ignorance. Sometimes that ignorance even takes a worse form, and it leads us to say all sorts of wrong things. When I read the prophecy of Jeremiah, I thank God that He's a God of mercy. Jeremiah was a good man. I don't think there's ever been another man in certain ways like Jeremiah. God gave him the most horrific ministry that a man could ever be called to exercise. And it broke Jeremiah's heart. And there came a time when bitterness set in. And Jeremiah lifted his face to heaven and his voice to God. And they said, "Will you be altogether a liar unto me?" It's not the language to use to the God of heaven. But he did it. He spoke ill-advisedly with his tongue. The psalmist Asaph was going through a very tough time. In the 77th Psalm, verse 7, he says, "Will the Lord cast off forever? Will He be favorable no more? Is His mercy clean gone forever? Doth His promise fail forevermore? Have God forgotten to be gracious? Has He in His anger shut up His tender mercies?" What a list of questions. "Lord, have you forgotten me? Have you forgotten what it is to have mercy? Is there no mercy with God anymore? Is all that I've ever said about the mercy of God, all that I've ever sung about the mercy of God, all I've ever preached about the mercy of God, is it all a pipe dream? God, have you given up being favorable to your people?" That's what Asaph was saying. And though the Hebrew scholars, they're wrong in this, by the way, I can say it because Dr. Barrett's gone. They're wrong in this. Up the spout as far as they can get up the spout. Selah is just a musical notation. Don't you believe it. They weren't there to sing and they wouldn't know. Selah is a pause. Maybe a musical pause. I don't know. But certainly a pause in the thought. And I like the way the old preachers used to interpret it. When you see a Selah, it tells you stop and think on that. Think on that.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.